Hey, welcome back, everybody, to another intimate, soul-centered episode of After Hours, Let's Talk. The space where the world gets quiet, the real conversations get loud, and truth rises to the surface. Tonight, we're diving into something powerful, something a lot of people crave, but very few actually embody: authenticity. And the courage it takes to live your truth, even when it's uncomfortable. And tonight, I'm joined by a truly special guest, Bobby Barrington. Bobby is a speaker, writer, and advocate for the radical self-ownership, known for her unfiltered honesty and her mission to help people shed the mask they've carried for too long. She's been through the pressures, the expectations, the fear of disappointing others, and she's turned it all around and turned it into a blueprint for living boldly, openly, and unapologetically. So, we're going to take a seat, grab something to drink, and dive deep into this conversation. And right before we get there, we're going to go into our what's on your mind tonight. And we have a listener that wrote in, "I feel like I'm living a double life. The person I present to the world is not who I really am. I'm scared of losing people if I finally reveal the real me." And that one is a little personal for me because I have experienced that in my life. You know, I feel like I'd have to be somebody that I'm not in order to make others around me happy. And that internally makes me unhappy because I can't be who I truly am. And I would say to you that be unapologetically who you are, no matter what. People will love you for you that are supposed to be around you in your world. If they don't, then they weren't meant to be in your presence anyway. So love who you are and don't feel bad or sorry about it. And Bobby, would you like to give that listener some words?
Well, hi, Rosetta. What a great beginning, and I'm so delighted to be here today speaking with you. This steamy late night heart-to-heart conversation that we have, and it's not late night here. I'm in Queensland, Australia, and it's like about 1:30 in the afternoon, so it's certainly not late night, but it will be. Yeah, so this is like a massive challenge for people, you know, like feeling that you are not living the authentic self that you know within yourself that you are, and yet the fear that it brings up in should you pursue your authentic self, right? And this pursuit of authenticity is massive, you know, and for me, I'm a trans woman, but I don't talk about gender per se, except from a human perspective, you know. So my gender journey was a pursuit of my authenticity, and it took courage, and it took money, it took stepping through the fear, the shame, the guilt, you know, disappointing people, the expectations that people have. Like, I become literally a different person, and there are going to be people who don't like me anymore. And, you know, that's a consequence. That's a real consequence. And I get it. Like, every time we grow, we do the work to become a more evolved version of who we are, we risk losing so much. You know, we risk losing relationships, families, support networks, you know, and we risk well, of course, there are risks of through the change of identity, but you have to ask yourself, you know, for this one brief time on this planet that is the flash of light, that is you, like, what is your 80-year-old self going to say to you? You know, like when, you know, with the passage of time, who do you want to be? Who do you want to be remembered as? What is the legacy you want to live? And I think one of the greatest fears that I have is of regret, and regret not having done the things that were my authentic truth, like live the fullest version of life that I possibly could and die fully expended and like saying, woohoo, what a ride that was. That's who I want to be. I want to know what's possible for me on this planet. I want to know who I can become, what I can do. What can't I do? There is nothing I can't do if I believe in it, commit to it, take action towards it. And for me, that wanting, that committing is much stronger than the fear of finding out. It's much stronger than this, having the courage, stepping into the unknown, doing the difficult things, you know, like discovering who you are takes courage. It takes so much courage because as you step from what is known and certain and familiar and that version of yourself that you're living today and the whole world sees you as and you're conditioned and you have a belief system around who you are, even though you hate it, you say, that is not me. That is not me. I do not want to be this person anymore. It's safe and comfortable and familiar and so juicy. And so to step from that into this version of you that you know, you have a knowing that there is more for you on this planet. You know that there is something extraordinary in you, a book, a business, a movement, something important that you're born to do, and you risk leaving it on the table, all of your talents gone, all of your passions, you know, underused because you didn't have the courage or the support or the network or, you know, the one thing that helped you take that one little step towards it, who you're meant to be. That's a tough thing to do, like especially when you live in a society or a community or an environment where people expect you to be like this, expect you to conform to this way, to live in a box like this. That's who you are, and don't you dare step out of it. And here we are daring. Here we are daring to step out of the box and explore and to create and be something wonderful. You know, so how do we do that? How do we do that? Getting someone to hold your hand. I love coaching. Coaching is such an important thing. I think we should all have coaches. I'm a coach. I have a coach. I've had several coaches. I have different coaches for different parts of my life because I can't see what I can't see. I can't see my limit. I can't see the box I'm in because I'm in it. You know, I'm blinkered. I can't, you know, it's fish in water, bird in the air. Can't see the thing. Coaching is wanting, you know, like I spent decades. I'm 66 now, and I transitioned when I was around about 60. in gender. And I spent decades in a body, in a life that didn't fulfill me at all. I was so sad, so depressed, so lost, and still searching, always wanting, always knowing that there was more. This life on earth, it's so abundant. There is so much opportunity. There you are over in Orlando, and here I am on the Sunshine Coast in Australia using this wonderful technology that we have that brings the world together and makes it a safer and closer and more joyful place. I think it's beautiful. I love it. Look at the technology that we have. We are humans. You and I, all your whole audience, we're all humans having a human experience, an emotional experience on this planet. We are the same. And what connects us is way more than what divides us. And so much possibility, and the possibility to create, like this podcast that you've created, Rosetta, it's extraordinary, amazing, good on you. Like everyone who steps out into the unknown and risks creating something that is new, you risk judgment, you risk people, diminishing what it is. There's a risk every time. And still we do it. Still we step into the arena. Still we risk being hurt. And it's the same with your guests, like this version of you that you want to be. So the question is, what stops you? What is the fear? Because it's not fear. Like Roosevelt, didn't he say, what's the expression? The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. So it's not the fear. Not the fear that hurt, that kills us. It's the emotion that we don't know how to handle. We're not taught how to handle those emotions. Nowhere. And yet, life is an emotional experience. It's all about the emotions. It's not about the thing that happened, but the meaning that we give to it and the emotions that we attach to it or that arise through it. And whether we have the capacity to embrace them, learn from them, grow through them, and not run away from them. Because they're called feelings for a reason, because we're meant to feel them. So we feel them, not suppress them, not go watch Netflix or drink or smoke funny stuff. This is what I would say, for people who know that there is more for them, stepping into that fear. What is the Susan Jeffers book, Feel the Fear and, someone's drilling. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Right. Yeah, so don't be frightened of the fear, but embrace it. When fear comes up for me, it's a gift. It's an opportunity to be curious about what I'm afraid of. What is the thing that's come up that's triggering this emotional reaction to me? For me, it's usually something like I'm out of integrity. I've not kept my word to myself. I've distracted myself from the thing I was supposed to do. And then I get frightened because then I catastrophize about a future outcome and it scares me. Money has been such an issue for me through my life, my money mindset. And I would catastrophize about money. I was never without money. I never had to sleep in a car or under a bridge or anything like that. And yet I was frightened that I would. And so it's the fear of the thing that shut me down and you feel it in your body and you want to run away from it, suppress it, medicate it, whatever. But when you own it, when you get curious about it, when you don't run away from it, when you feel it in your body, there are things you can do to handle that, process that, move it through your body, you know, like getting present, going out into nature, putting your feet on the grass, you know, like embodiment, shaking yourself around, you know, like when you're in the present moment, there is no fear of the future. The anxiety is in the future. Yeah, so that answers your question. It's a long answer.
No, that was good. That was a very good answer for our listener, you know. And it just goes into our conversation, you know. We as humans have a tendency to...
I'm sorry.
We all have a tendency to, you know, pretend or be afraid to be who we are because we don't want to take on those feelings head on. We don't want to feel whatever judgment we may receive, whatever sadness or frightfulness we may fear. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to conquer it, I feel, at times. You know, it's a very scary place to be when you're in the unknown, when you don't know what type of reaction you're going to get when you're being who you truly are. Because people are so used to a specific version of you, because that's all they know. But they can only give you the reaction because they only know you as that version of yourself. You've never shown them anything else, and you've never given them anything else to see of you, you know? So, and like you said, it holds you back from doing a lot of things that could be great in your life for you, you know? If you are starting a business, you'll never be able to be successful in that business if you're not being who you truly are and pushing through those feelings, those emotions, and just letting whatever happens happen and deal with it when it happens. Like, we prepare a lot for things, and 9 times out of 10, when you're preparing for things and planning for things, it never really turns out the way that you plan for it to go. So
that's life, you know? Like, when I was little, like 5 or 6, that sort of, you know, child age, you know, like I remember having some frightening experiences with my father. So my father was an alcoholic, and I grew up, you know, the first 20 of my years of my life, I grew up being conditioned to keep my head down and not to attract attention, you know, because it was unsafe. It was an unsafe place, you know. So I spent 60-something years of my life now living in the trauma of my little girl, the little girl who, you know, was in freeze and fawn, you know, like my nervous system was stayed in that place for, you know, all those decades. And that wasn't the truth of me. That was the conditioned version of me. And so I spent my life believing that I was an introvert and I would behave that way. I would, even into my like 50s, I well remember occasions when I did not want to attract attention, you know, like even, stupid things, you know, like, you know, it's advised to put your headlights on when you drive during the day. And I never wanted to because it would attract attention. Like, it's a stupid thing, you know. Like when I lived in London for a long time, and in the tube trains there, they had vents. And if I stood up to open the vent because I was hot or cold or something, I didn't want to do that because it was just like stupid behaviors, you know. So now I look back at that conditioning and the cost of that, And the cost to me, the cost to my family, the cost to the world when I wasn't showing up in the fullest of who I should be. Like that suppressed me who kept her mouth shut. That was not of service to humanity, to anybody, you know. So, of course, there was a payoff. You know, by behaving in that way, I felt that I was staying safe, and I have core wounds. You know, I know enough about myself to know what my core woundings are, like embarrassment, fear, not good enough. These are things that have been core to me, and like they are my key triggers, right? And so my nervous system responds in a way to keep me safe. You know, so this behavior that people exhibit, you know, like not wanting to stand out, not wanting to, you know, people-pleasing behavior, you know, all that behavior, it's because it serves them. It keeps them safe. It keeps them from being hurt. But we are not little children anymore. We are not six-year-olds, 10-year-olds. We are grown-ups now. We do not have to carry those traumas with us through for the rest of our lives. Those I am statements of, you know, I am unworthy, I am not good enough, I am to this, to that, to the other. All of those things are real access points for us to question, what is my truth? What is my truth? Not the one I've been told, not the one I've been conditioned, not the one I've learned or have so much evidence about, but what is my truth? So this for me, this path of authenticity, living my authentic truth, it has been a path of questioning all of those statements, all of that stuff, to ask myself, is that me? Is that the real me, Bobby? And this version of me now, who, oh my God, I'm a dream come true. I really am, you know, like in, for me, dreams do come true. It's true, it's true. But in my gender, the body I inhabit, I love my body. I have such a wonderful, positive body image now. I have, you know, me not wanting to stand out, attract attention. I'm 6 foot tall. I've got purple hair. I stand on stages. I talk to people. I do that, and I do that even though it can be hard. I do the thing. I keep doing the thing. I keep stepping to the edge of discomfort because that is where I grow. That's the only place that I can grow where it's uncomfortable. You know, and I am not prepared. If people don't accept me as I am, that's their problem. Not my problem. I don't have to take on, can I say this, other people's shit. That's theirs. This is mine. I'll own my stuff. I set boundaries around me. But this wasn't me 4 years ago. This transformation, this transition, not in body but in mindset, as I moved from 60 years of living as a man with the conditioning and the emotional traditions of being a man into the world of women that I'm inhabiting now, it has been the most epic journey of all. The acceptance that I've had from women and the growth in personal power, emotional intelligence. I am happier, I am more fulfilled, and I am more free than ever. And that comes from the emotional, my emotional capacity to navigate my world with grace, with strong boundaries, with the choices I make about the reality I create around me, how I show up, the smile I put on my face, the attitude that I have towards stuff that happens, because stuff always happens.
Mm-hmm.
Where the choice is, what is the meaning I give to that stuff? You know, so I get to choose that, okay, my father was an alcoholic. My early years were emotionally challenging. I get to choose. I've just recently lost such a lot of money through a divorce. And I get to choose. It's not an easy choice. It's a hard thing to do. But how do I choose to make that an expensive lesson that happened for me rather than to me? You know, this is power. This is power to create our destinies through our emotions, the embodiment of our emotions, but not in my head. I can't outthink life, but my body has the wisdom. Yeah, so, oh God, Rosetta, you know, this powerful stuff.
It is. It's very powerful stuff. You know, I think that a lot of times we let our traumas overpower and overwhelm our lives as an adult, because we're not healing, we're not understanding where all of these insecurities and fears come from as adults. Mm. And I think once we're able to ask those questions, why do I feel this way? What can I do to step out of that? Because, you know, we aren't that little kid anymore, like you said. We're not that young child anymore. And those things that were meant to keep us safe as children sometimes become the things that make us unsafe as adults, because now it's not really keeping us safe. It's putting us in situations that now make us feel uncomfortable and fearful and scared to be who we are. So those safe places have now become unsafe places for us. And we got to learn how to heal from those things so that we can be our best authentic selves and flourish in the person that we have grown to be and want to be, you know, so that we can accomplish and feel good about who we are today. Because, I mean, we have to celebrate. Like, I may have went through all of those things, but I'm here and I made it through that. And I can be and do whatever it is that I want to do, you know, and nobody can stop me from doing that. And no matter how uncomfortable it may make other people feel, being able to step into your discomfort, like you said, having that discomfort is what pushes us to continue to do more, to seek out more, because I feel like when you're stuck in a safe zone and you're not pushing yourself outside of the box, you're never going to grow. You're never going to feel anything new. Nothing great is going to come from you. You become very stagnant, you know, and you just continue to do, you're just at the same place all the time. And that becomes a very unhappy place. And nobody wants to live in an unhappy place, you know?
No, absolutely. But people don't, we don't choose to stay in an unhappy place when we know we have a choice. For people, it becomes their reality. And we feel that we don't have any power over that situation, being able to change that situation. And
right.
So the awareness, you know, in order to create any kind of change, you need to be aware, first off, mm-hmm. to know that there is another path. And this was pretty massive for me. Like, each point of my growth, especially in my personal power over the last 4 years. It's only been 4 years. It's been like ratchets, you know, like aha moments, you know, where the cog dropped into place and go clunk, and another awareness came up. Like, one of the metaphors that I really like to use is the one of the two wolves that you may be familiar with. You know, the story about the two wolves, and I don't know, it was a Native American traditional story. I think there are many traditions to this story, but the, I don't know, chief of the tribe says to the young brave and says, you know, there are two wolves fighting inside of you. You know, one is the good wolf and one is not the good wolf. And the brave says, oh, wow, didn't know that. And the chief says, so tell me, which one do you think wins? And he said, the brave says, I don't know. And the chief says, the one you feed.
Mm-hmm.
And there is not a good wolf or a bad wolf. You know, there are all wolves. In fact, there's whole packs of wolves. But this is about choice. You know, like in your life, if you want a different outcome, you have to focus on a different outcome. You have to choose. You have to keep stepping towards. You have to vision it. You know, you have to believe. That's feed that wolf. Feed the wolf that best represents the life you want to lead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was a beautiful. So right now we're going to go into our quote of the night. Our quote states that your truth may scare people, but it will set you free. And I want you guys to let that sit with you. Make that a part of your daily affirmations. Let it be something that you say to yourself and tell yourself when you're in those moments where you feel unsure and you feel a little scared to be who you are. I really want to thank Ms. Fabi for sharing her wisdom and her story with us tonight. And you just having an unapologetic spirit. Authenticity is not a destination, it's a process. A daily choosing, a daily unmasking, and a daily honoring of who we are. And to the listeners tonight, I'm going to let Ms. Fabi let us know any final thoughts that she may have and any references that you would like for the audience to know for any of your speakings, your books, or guides.
Okay. So people can find me at my website, and I'm Bobbi Barrington, B-O-B-B-I, Barrington. And also on socials, LinkedIn, Facebook, to some extent Instagram. I'm not great at this stuff, you know. I'm trying to work it out, you know. Like, I am so not the finished product. I am just beginning, you know. I'm 66, you know, living in a new body in a new part of the world with a new business. I'm just beginning, you know. Like, I'm not interested in being old or any of that stuff. You can... But I've also created something that your listeners might be interested in because, you know, I speak to a lot of ladies, a lot of women, and at a certain point in life, you know, you get to a point where it's not lighting you up like it used to, and you may be becoming a little disillusioned, and there are some crucial life points, you know, like children leaving home or separation, divorce, you know, bereavement, you know, like the work doesn't fulfill you. And you think, you know, is this all there is? You know, isn't there more, you know, and there was a former version of you that was so excited about what life was meant to be like, and it's just like not turning out that way. I've created a little downloadable PDF called how to feel alive again. And it's just 12 pages or so and over a couple of weeks, and it's a downloadable, and I hope we can pop it into the show notes. But I would like for people to, you know, this is not for me, this is for you. You know, these are some introspective and contemplative questions about, you know, what it is. You know, so like coaching is great, coaching is fabulous, but actually introspection is really important too. Journaling is a great thing, you know, but journaling with quality questions, you know, so, you know, even jump into ChatGPT and say, ask me some quality questions, or what are quality questions I can journal on? So it can be that easy. Yeah. Wow. So thank you, Rosetta. If we could drop that in the show notes, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. All of the links and the PDF will be in the show notes for you guys to have easy access to. And I just want to leave you guys with this. If you feel like you've been hiding for years, maybe even decades, I want you to know you deserve a life where you don't have to rehearse your identities before showing up. This is your reminder to live boldly, love honestly, and honor the truth that's been whispering inside of you. And as always, you guys, take a deep breath, relax, and remember to be who you are always. And remember, the night, it always has something to say. And until next time, you guys have a beautiful night. Thank you.